with inalienable rights. We know inalienable rights were never transferred to any government in the social contract, because they never can be transferred to anyone at any time under any circumstances. Inalienable rights stand outside any social contract, real or imaginary. They establish an inflexible barrier beyond which no government may pass. With this background, listen once more to Locke's definition of tyranny.
As usurpation is the exercise of power which another hath a right to, so tyranny is the exercise of power beyond right, which nobody can have a right to.
Locke's distinction should now be clear. Usurpation refers to violating alienable rights. Tyranny refers to violating inalienable rights. Stealing a car is usurpation. Enslaving a man is tyranny. If Jefferson was familiar with Locke's definition of tyranny, and it seems certain he was, then Jefferson's reasoning in the Declaration becomes more understandable. Jefferson's overriding purpose in the Declaration was to convict the king of tyranny. So how did Jefferson begin? Logically enough, with a list of inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These are the rights which, if violated by the king, would make him a tyrant. Jefferson knew what he was doing. American colonists had complained for years about the usurpations of the English Parliament and later the English King. Jefferson himself accused Parliament and King of usurpation in his 1774 pamphlet, A Summary View of the Rights of British America.